Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 627. It's the 2nd of November 2016. On the podcast today, I have Brian McMaster, Executive Chairman of Harvest Minerals, ticker HMI, answering private investor questions. I've also got Charlie Long, Research Analyst for the Resources Sector at Beaufort Securities, covering solar oil. Plus, small cap commentator Doc Holliday talks about Oxford Pharmascience, Sound Energy, Prairie Mining, and Audio Boom. Plus, I also have today's suggested one for your watch list, which is Providence Resources. Now, today, I normally do it on a Monday. I write a blog on the weekend. And like I said, a friend of mine, Steve, says he never reads. So he said, could you do an audio version of your blog? So basically, this is an audio summary of my weekend blog on Providence Resources. Plus, I've also got the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. And the top five most liked RNSs on the website this morning.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Brian McMaster, Executive Chairman of Harvest Minerals, ticker HMI. Brian, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome, Justin. Thank you.
Now, you've been on before, Brian, and there's quite a bit of excitement about the stock there. But for people not aware of what you do at Harvest Minerals, or for new listeners to the podcast, can you give us a quick summary as to what Harvest Minerals is all about?
Yeah, sure. So Harvest Minerals is a Brazilian-based fertilizer company. We have three projects that we're focusing on, one in particular at the moment, which is a direct application fertilizer business that we're planning to bring into production next month. And in addition to that, we have some potash assets in the north of the country, which are a little bit longer term, sort of more development assets.
Excellent stuff. So that project next month, you're hoping to bring into production, is that still, in schedule? Is planned to go ahead?
Yep, that's certainly on track for next month. So we're busy at the moment just finishing off the civil works, and we've recently finished a drill program, which we'll be making some announcements about in the next day or so. And, yeah, everything's looking good for first production sort of around the third week of this month leading into next month.
Marvellous. And can you give us some figures around that project, please, Brian?
Yeah, well, at the moment, we've got a JORC resource on there of about 900,000 tonnes, which we hope to expand out quite considerably based on the additional drilling that we've recently done. The initial resource was based only on 3% of the area, so if you extrapolate that out, we end up with quite a sizable resource. And we currently have state, federal and municipal permits in place for trial mining period of 4 years at a rolling 50,000 tonnes per annum, which in reality means sort of circa about 400,000 tonnes per annum for the next 4 years.
Wow. All right. We've got some questions here, and I understand, whenever you get questions from private investors, they some of them are invested in you, and they want to know a bit of detail about the company. Sometimes you can't reveal them. So I'll ask the questions anyway, and you can let me know whether you can, how much of it you can reveal or what. So here's the first one. Is there an offtake agreement in place?
Yeah, so I keep a bit of a watchful eye on some of the chat boards, and everybody's speculating around offtake and wants to know the answer to that question. And the answer is offtake, like with shareholders, offtake is at the forefront of the company's mind at the moment. So we are in active discussions and actively pursuing offtake arrangements with a variety of different people in Brazil. The important things to understand with the offtake is that there are different ways that we can sell the product. There are different markets that we can sell the product into, and we need to optimise the channels of how we sell those, sell the product into those markets. And that includes giving the end customer the opportunity to test the product and other things. So the short answer is we are really advancing quite rapidly towards offtake arrangements, and it's something that the company is focusing on very hard at the moment. The other aspect of it, of course, to always keep in mind is you have to have a product to sell. And as I said, we don't actually start production until next month. So, later this month. I keep forgetting it's November already.
Yeah.
Later this month. So, it's a little bit sequential. We'll produce the products and then we'll sell it. But we are very actively pursuing offtake arrangements at the moment, yes.
Excellent. Okay, next one. When will you become cash positive? Do you foresee enough cash being generated to fund the future projects, or do you think you will need to raise capital in the midterm?
Right. Well, we've made it clear to the market on numerous occasions in recent months that we have enough cash in the bank to fulfil our immediate objective of bringing the business into production. Mm-hmm. Extrapolating out some of the figures that we've been putting into the market, we can tell that this project, the Arapura project, will be cash flow generative. It will be cash flow positive. And if you sort of work it out, you know, say 400,000 tonnes per annum at the projected profit, then you know you can quite easily do a back of the envelope about what the expected surplus cash flow will be. Is that enough to pursue the other projects? The answer would be yes. The other aspect to all of this is, you know, we need to be cognizant of the fact that you know, we are constantly in the market in Brazil looking for other opportunities, and you know, whether one of those pops up and takes our fancy in the coming period or not is yet to be determined.
Okay, the next one is quite similar to the last, well, the first one, but it says, with trial mining underway, who is the customer for the first 50,000 tonnes, and what will they be paying per tonne? Are there forward sales of further tonnage?
Well, the customer is going to obviously be a local farmer, so we've done quite an extensive amount of studying around various radiuses around our project, so effectively we're saying we can reduce sort of 400,000 tonnes per annum at the moment. Our estimates are that the market for our product within a 150-kilometre radius of us is about 3.5 million tonnes of product. So there is certainly a demand for the product. So the short answer is customers will be a combination of vegetable, soybean, maize and coffee farmers in the local region. And at this stage, you know, we haven't finalised a discussion with any of those parties yet, but we are very actively pursuing that.
Okay, and what, pricing-wise, what is the market like at the moment there?
The market's pretty good. I think, you know, it's, you know, the emphasis on agriculture globally and in particular in Brazil continues to strengthen, and the need for fertiliser in Brazil, you know, doesn't go away. It's actually getting stronger year on year. So yeah, the market is strong. I mean, the price of this product will be a function of a whole bunch of different things. We can see from the scoping study that the independent experts benchmarked or bookend the price with, you know, quite a large variable and then settled on a midpoint. Our expectations are that that midpoint, as disclosed in the scoping study, will be there or thereabouts. So we're not expecting any wild fluctuations from that.
Yeah. Okay, Brian, excellent stuff. Well, is there anything else you want to point out or update on? I mean, because you say you do now and again scan the chat and all the discussions. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think, you know, it's just important for everyone to understand that, you know, we are developing the asset as quickly as possible. You know, I do read in some of these threads that people speculate about matters not progressing as quickly as they anticipated, or there being obstacles or hurdles. And, you know, I want to assure investors or prospective investors that that's not the case. We're not aware of any hurdles or any issues that need to be considered at this stage. We're just doing things as quickly as we can. But unfortunately, some of these things, you know, take a little bit of time. And, you know, when the time is being recorded in weeks, not months or years, I think it's, you know, it really is a testament to the team about how quickly they've been able to put this together.
Yeah, okay. Marvellous. All right, Brian. Every day on the podcast, I cover the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website, and you feature in there quite a few times. But if you know, if you need to convince anyone to hit that follow button, could you give us 3 points, please?
Well, the first thing is, I mentioned to you earlier, Justin, I was in your office last week and I spent some time with your team, and we've worked out how to navigate your podcast website page a little bit better. So we are starting to more actively populate that page. So the first thing I'd recommend to people is to download the app and get onto that page, because it is going to be a major plank of our marketing program going forward. The second thing is, I think, you know, shareholders and prospective shareholders should be comforted by the fact that we've seen a real stabilisation in the share price over recent months. The volatility has come out and the stock seems to have found a new level, which you know, is reflecting investors' expectations. And importantly, we've had three independent research notes released in the last couple of months, all of which are on the Vox website, outlining that, you know, these independent analysts are speculating that based on us doing nothing more than completing the work at hand, we should see at least 100% uplift in our current stock price.
Wow. All right. Brian, thank you very much, and I look forward to chatting to you again in the near future.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Charlie Long, Research Analyst for the Resources Sector at Beaufort Securities. Charlie, thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I've not talked to you before. I've had a couple of your colleagues on previously, but it's just nice to chat to you. You know, I don't know what you look like. You sound like a dashing young man.
I'm sure we'll meet one day.
Yeah. Okay, Charlie, so the reason you're on is to talk about Solo. Why Solo? And give me the reason why first, and then we'll go into the summary of what Solo's about. So why are you chatting about Solo today?
Mainly because I initiated coverage of it this morning, published a note. Okay. With a buy recommendation for our clients. Stocks underperformed this year, we believe, and there's lots of news flow coming up, which should be catalyst for the stock.
Okay, cool. So give us a summary. We've had Neil on from Solo before, but give us a summary as to what Solo is all about, please, Charlie.
So it's an oil and gas investment company, so it doesn't operate. It's it's oil projects. It invests in them. It's got four main investments: two are in Tanzania, which is mainly what my note talks about this morning, and it's got a couple in the UK as well, which is quite interesting, including a stake in the Horse Hill discovery, which discussed before on the program.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't know about that? I mean, it hit front page news, didn't it?
It did.
With almost 100 billion barrels of oil.
I think that was a bit of a shame because I think that confused the issue because that was a bit of a red herring, and it's not resources, and the vast majority will not be recovered. But actually, separate to that, they hit this very this highly fractured limestone, which no one really thought would have much oil in it, with high quality oil, and it's kind of changed geologists and oil petroleum geologists' way of looking at that part of the southern UK. So that was actually a really good news story, but it was just clouded with nonsense about billions and billions and billions and billions of barrels. But Tanzania
with hype. Too much hype.
So no one really knows what the true story is. But of course, more tests and more wells are needed on that one. But it looks very exciting for the UK as well as for the owners of the shares.
Think Solo is more, at the moment, Tanzania is where the focus is. That's where the exciting news flow is coming out. Tell us about Tanzania.
So it owns two investments in Tanzania. One of them is smaller, less important, but it's producing cash, which started this year. That went into production earlier this year, and they got their first small check in August. And that should produce, as long as everything goes well, approximately $125,000 to Solo per month.
Okay.
And obviously the importance of that is so many of these junior companies out there are raising money just to survive and just to cover their G&A costs. But Solo's got this nice little investment which should last four years, maybe more, which will cover their G&A. At least that's the theory. So that's a great thing. So they're not going to be tapping the market just to stay alive and pay their salaries. And then you can focus any money they do raise in the future, although at the moment they're fully funded, will be for their second investment in Tanzania, which is called Rovuma, the Rovuma PSA, where they've already had a discovery. They own 25% of this PSA, this project, alongside Aminex, who you'll also know, who are the operator. And they made a discovery in 2012, and it's taken them a couple of years to get to the point where they're now going to start appraisal wells on this project to see how big it is. And the point of the note, the point of the timing of the note, is this: these appraisal wells are going to start in December next month. So early December, they should be spudding their first well. If that goes to plan, there could be up to 300 BCF of gas there, which is a decent amount of gas. The company itself thinks there's a 74% chance of success. I'm not sure how they got exactly to 74. The independent consultants think there's 60% chance of success. And this, a lot of that's a high chance of success. And a lot of that is because they've already discovered gas down the road, so 1.5 kilometers away, back in 2012. It's just taken them a few years to get to the point where they're going to drill the second well. So they've done some seismic and stuff. They think that's going to 75% chance of success, and then you're off to the races. So, you know, spudding in December and news flow as they, you know, complete the hole and then do the flow test in January or February next year.
Yeah, it's amazing. I talk to a lot of oil and gas sector small companies, and it's amazing how now that the majority of them are trying desperately to get away from exploration and try and get some producing assets on board, because the environment is not favourable at all to raising money for exploration, and so it's odd. But what it says to me is, down the line, you get less exploration, of course, and even the oil majors are exploring less and less now. They're cutting back on the expensive products of exploring. So yep. Down the line, we're obviously going to see a reduction in the amount of oil discovered. So you'd think that would have exactly. So the oil prices, surely. I mean, having said that, we don't know how fast the uptake in electric cars and all that, but they still sort of need.
I don't think the electric car uptake is going to be that quick. I can't remember what the percentage is, but say there's a couple of percent of cars are electric, if that. If they grow at very, very high annual growth rate, it's still going to be a long time before you start displacing oil in any significant way. But high cost sort of deep offshore drillings is being cut back massively. Onshore drilling, they kind of high grade there. The US, they're still drilling quite a lot. Of course, the rig count has come off, but they're still drilling and they're still making money, and they're finding new ways of making money at this price. But the solo story, it's onshore, it's not offshore. So most of the gas in Tanzania, Mozambique, in this big basin called the Rovuma Basin, is offshore, and most of the discoveries are offshore. There's been a lot less onshore. These guys are onshore, and they've got a local market. So they find the gas, and they can tie into the local pipe, and they've got, there's an agreement with the Tanzanian government where they'll pay a set price. So actually, the sort of the economics and the route to market kind of, it's very local. It's niche to Tanzania, and for solo, also because it's onshore, it's not particularly high cost to drill a well. And these guys, these guys' market cap's only 15 million quid, and the discovery they made back in 2012, where they discovered 70 BCF of gas, that in our view pretty much underpins their current market value anyway. They've got gas production as well, so there's for them, it's actually the right time to drill a well, and it's not high cost.
So what did you say was so at the moment? So we've got 15 million market cap, 0.22 pence. I mean, do you have a target price on them?
Our target price is 0.84 pence.
Okay,
so quite a lot of upside.
But
it's relatively thinly traded, and a lot of that would be technical. People start buying the stock on good news. I think it could move quite a long way quite quickly.
Okay, marvellous. Well, Charlie, every day on the podcast I do, the top five most followed stocks, and people have to hit the follow button and they get RNSs straight to the front screen of their smartphone. Okay. So if you could, give us in a summary of what you just said there, give us three reasons why, someone should hit that follow button on Solo Oil, please.
Okay, so reason number one, spudding in December, so lots of news flow coming soon. Cash flow from their existing, one of their other investments in Tanzania, covers their G&A, so no problems with more dilutive fundraisers just to cover G&A. And my third point would be this project Rovuma, or the Ntoria gas project they call it more specifically, has the potential to be a very large scale 1 TCF to 1.5 TCF plus project, so potentially very exciting and significant.
Marvellous. Charlie, lovely to speak to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
Thank you very much.
The Box Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is small cap commentator, blogger, podcaster. It's Doc Holliday. You're right, Doc.
Morning, Justin. How are you today?
I'm all right. Not too bad there. Do you know what I quite like? I quite like a crisp September. It's October now, isn't it? Yeah, no, it's November. Sorry, where's Marcus gone? Yeah, I'm losing months here. But it's like the sun is out, but it's cold. I quite like that. You know, it's fresh and it's bright. And I like that, even though the market's having a bit of a wobble ahead of the elections. Because they're saying now that Trump could be... They can't have Trump as president. It's just the name, Trump. You know, it's the ridiculousness stems from that. I don't want to get too political, but I don't know. Anyway, the market's having a wobble. I think it'll be like this, won't it, for the next, at least a week until elections, and then maybe after as well. What do you reckon?
Well, look, mate, I think there's been a whole sort of raft of revelations, both from Clinton and Trump's camps over the last few weeks. Naturally, there's going to be skepticism, speculation, anticipation based around this particular outcome. There's an argument, do you want either or running the country? I think what we do know is that there's more likely going to be uncertainty once Obama walks out and the new president walks in, whoever that may be. So, yeah, I anticipate quite a lot of sort of upset out in the US. I've commented quite a bit recently that I find it a massive surprise that the dollar, the euro are all doing particularly well and the pound looks so weak. I think there's going to be a strengthening of the pound, regardless what others think. And I think there'll be a massive uncertainty out in the US. And I think all of that is going to create a choppy environment within the stock market. And, you know, we've discussed it over the summer. It's been a great summer, better than expected. I'd say one of the best since 2010 area. You know, I don't expect it to be like that next year. I think the reality of the type of market we're in today is starting to sink in. Liquidity's drying up. I think we're in for a rainy season, if I'm honest, and I've positioned myself accordingly.
Yeah, well, I just tweeted out actually saying, you know, it's always good to scale in and it's always good to have some cash in reserve for times like this. And it does happen, you know, a couple of times a year at least, you'll get a big sell-off. And, you know, if you're happy, if you couldn't get into a stock that everyone's been talking about, then there's chances are you can get in if you've had cash in reserve. Or if you're already in, then you're scaling a bit more, you know. And I think that's why you should never just lump in everything you've got, you know, into one stock. Because we know, you know, it's very unpredictable, the stock market. All you can guarantee on is if you do your research, hopefully good news will come and it'll ride out through that. So, yeah. So what are you looking at? Do you know what? I was thinking about you because over the last few days on Vox, OXP has been one of the most followed stocks. Now, what's your thoughts on OXP? Because it had a bit of weakness of late, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of hit that 250, 255 level, and it seemed to come off for a couple of sessions. Yesterday saw quite an aggressive pullback. I'd been out for most of the day from about 10 a.m. till about 3 p.m., which is quite unlike me. But it was one of those days that I'd arranged to go off and do something. And I come home, I saw that weakness, and I kind of jumped onto Vox. I thought, I'll have a look, see what news has come out, what's been happening. Couldn't seem to get any sort of great idea. Looked at the pricing of the trade sales. You know, the shares were trading hands early in the session at sort of 235, 240. Suddenly it's down at sort of 215 to sell and 2.2 to buy. So, you know, I took that initiative. It was about 4:15 and I hit the buy button on another about 8,000 quid's worth of shares. Risky, I suppose, but that trade was reported this morning. It was delayed into the aftermarket yesterday. I'm still none the wiser. I know there's been a little bit of discussion over the company's cash position. It seems to be that in the market, there's quite a lot of this going on at the moment where people don't really have clarity on how these companies are funded, and they get a completely wrong end of the stick. We saw it with Andalas Energy. It's the same with OXP. The company have got cash or cash equivalents of 22 million as of June. Yes, 10 million of that's been deposited for one of the pipelines. But nonetheless, it's still there, you know. So I think there's been a bit of discussion over that. That might have sort of helped wobble things slightly. I'm not too sure, but no concerns. Still not 100% sure what that pullback was for yesterday, whether it was just a bit of profit taking, whether it be somebody just finishing off selling in the market. Seems to have perked up a little bit this morning. And yeah, you know, we'll wait and see. The story is as it was. I mean, you know, you go and look at... Marcelo's interview, and he talks about two pieces of news, Q4, Q1, and that is, you know, a technical update on where they are, and then a deal. And I'm sure that institutions that were backing this at Tempe will certainly be expecting a bang for their buck at some point. Shares are trading at 2.3 today. I mean, it just looked like it's an absolute buy. And one of the interesting things before we move on is these biopharma, biotech pharma companies, you know, generally when the markets get really choppy and the resource companies get hit particularly hard, these things generally stand up quite well.
Yeah. Well, do you know, I saw that discussion on Twitter, and I just got to say, so in the current assets, they've got 10 million short-term investments and cash on deposit and cash and equivalents of 12.12. Now, anything in current assets is likely, is referred to, but they call it current because they're quite liquid. And that means within a year or less, I think is the ballpark figure, a year or less, they can liquidize them. So they are liquid, you know, and it's non-current assets that are harder to liquefy. So, you know, that for all intents and purposes, they call it cash and equivalents pretty much. So, I mean, they are liquid assets. So you could say, you know, it is 22.1 million. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, cool. All right, then. Any news on anything else? There's some news out on Sound Energy today. They're exceeding flow rates at the TE7 well in Tindara, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Sound Oil's been a company that's had a hell of a run recently. We've talked about it on and off the podcast again, just sort of touched on it this morning. And I kind of feel that the news today clearly is positive news. If you read through the RNS, it sort of states that the company have had a decent flow or low over quite a short period of time. They intend to put that well onto an extended test. But what was quite revealing is I picked up a tweet from the company which actually suggested that the flow rates were exceeded commercial values dramatically. So I think the eight skiffs that were announced today was significantly higher than what they needed for it to be commercial, which was three. So interesting, very short term flow rates. It's going to go on to an extended test. They'll then come back and they'll give some more sort of colour to the picture on exactly what's going on at TE7. Certainly good news. The market seems to have liked it. The only bit I can't get over is, you know, the market cap of the company is just, it's huge now. They've got a market cap of £500 million. It is a gas play. We are expecting some choppiness. I don't get overexcited on the buy side at 80p. I think it's sort of fully priced until we know a little bit more. But having said that, been a hell of a sort of run and a year for Sound Oil. It's got up here. It's held this level. Been a great testament to the hard work that James and his team have done. I'd like to see a little bit more of what's going on exactly within that region. And should we be able to sort of validate the valuation at £500 million pound market cap, then there may well be additional upside to it. At the minute, I believe it's probably fairly priced, and therefore I'm not a buyer. But then, you know, I wouldn't be rushing out to go and lay the shorts on this one, given the volatility in the price.
Yeah. I tell you what took over last 3 days. Oxford Pharma Science was like number one most followed. And what took over it was Prairie Mining. It was suggested as one for your watch list a couple of days ago. They've had news out today, quite good actually. They've done, I don't know much about them. And they do, you know, coal in Central Europe there. But they've just done a deal with China's, so one to keep an eye on. They've just done a deal with China's second largest coal mining company. And this is a company worth, have 50 billion worth of assets. To do a pre-feasibility study. I mean, when you see hookups like this, it's always worth keeping an eye on them, isn't it, you know?
Oh, look, definitely. I mean, the share price through September, October has doubled. Is it a case that this deal was known and had been waiting for the ink to dry on it, and naturally people had been preemptive in that move? Or is it a case that coal prices have gone up by two or three times the multiple off the lows? I mean, that, you know, the coal price is still relatively cheap. I see a lot of people have been sort of, you know, squawking about coal. It draws me to look at iron ore, because where there's a lot of coal sales, there's generally, you know, the iron ore production pricing starts to react as well. So I think there's going to be additional sort of upside to you know, in other sort of commodities on the back of this sort of rising coal. So is it a case that people have started to value the company higher because of the interest in the coal price? Is it because they've known in advance that this deal was you know, pending and perhaps would be signed? I guess it's that one's down to speculation. But yeah, I mean, look when you start getting traction in the market, your commodity price is going in the right direction, and then you go and announce a deal with a big Chinese player. Well, it's a little bit like the perfect storm, isn't it? It's the recipe for success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking about big Chinese players, one more stock to mention, I suppose. Audio Boom. You know, I feel it's hanging over the share price. You know, this Chinese investor was supposed to come in at no less than 2.5 pence. It seems now like a magnet to that price, doesn't it? It's not moving anywhere. Yesterday, there were 2 1 million share buyers, so 25.5 grand, 26 grand, you know, towards the end of the day. Today, we've had volume, sell volume of half that, a quarter of that amount, and it's gone down a little bit. And I think, you know, at the moment, until I get this clarity of what's happening with this Chinese investor, it just seems, you know, really rooted to that 2.5 pence, doesn't it, you know?
It does, doesn't it? I mean, it's been an incredible one. It got up to sort of 3.25, then it's back down to 2, 2.25, then it's back to 3 and back to 2.5. I mean, it's, you know, it's the yo-yo effect within the market. I look at much of what's been reported on the company. You know, they had a bit of coverage out in the Evening Standard saying that, you know, they'd exceeded that exceeded on some of what they'd reported earlier in the year. There's a lot of anticipation around Boomer, sort of double figures, and everybody expected things to go a lot quicker. And I actually think looking back, you know, there was that the guy who used to be on with Jonathan Ross, Katy Perry's old husband. Yeah, I remember him being involved back then on the big promotional side. He was a bit of a pain in the ass, a bit of a diva, and Russell Brand, that's the guy. And I kind of figured that you know, that as well as a slower than expected development really did hold Audio Boom back, and has probably been the result of why we are today. But when you look at the last lot of results, you can see that they're growing exponentially now, and it is literally, we're just at that sort of final hurdle, aren't we, with this Chinese will they won't they. I mean, I'm actually of the view, I don't care whether they're coming in or they're not coming in. I just want to know what they're doing, because I think that will be ultimately the catalyst to this going higher regardless, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. Again, it's that word uncertainty, you know, and, which hangs over the entire market at the moment with the US elections. So, marvellous. Doc, love it to chat to you. Speak again soon, fella.
Cheers, Just. Take care, mate.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list, and it's Providence Resources, ticker PVR. Now, I submitted this, like I said earlier, my mate Steve can't read, so he said, could you do an audio version of this so I can just listen? It's easier for me. It hurts his brain trying to read, so I'm doing this as an audio version. You can see my weekend blog post. Just click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, but this is the audio version. So Providence Resources, what do they do? It's an Irish-based oil and gas exploration company with a portfolio of appraisal and exploration assets located offshore in Ireland. Providence shares are quoted on AIM in London and ESM in Dublin. How many shares does the company have in issue? 597 million. What's the current price and market cap? So the share price is 10.375 pence. Market cap, 62 million. What revenue, profit or loss does the company generate? There's no revenue yet. They're an exploration, of course, company. Loss stated as 4.4 million euros. The half year ended June the 30th, 2016. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt now. And around $50 million in cash after the fundraise at 12 pence in June. So, three reasons why people should put this company on their watch list. So, this is why I think you should put them on your watch list. Number one, the spud effect. Now, if you look at the other companies that are just about a drill, then the share price invariably rises just before, you know, a few weeks before there. And it can have a, you know, an amazing rise. If you look at Prospect Oil and Gas or Canadian Overseas Petroleum, I think Canadian Overseas Petroleum has done 500% since the start of the year. Prospect Oil and Gas are on 300% in the last couple of months. So, you know, this, and this is why I said this, they'll be drilling the Druid oil field and possibly Drombeg. You look on the website here, all my blog posts, basically Drombeg is below Druid, so they could, you know, theoretically use one drill to drill both. But they're doing this, the Drombeg, which sits on top of the Druid, sorry, sits on top of the Drombeg field. And they're doing this in June 2017, so plenty of time before this happens. Now, these oil fields have a cumulative in-place unrisk prospective resources of 3.18 billion barrels of oil. Yeah, massive. Absolutely. And this, and they do have some massive assets. Now, this is P mean. This is average of the mean there, prospective mean. So the share prices should rise towards this drill, you know. Number two, reason two, assets. Provident Resources have interest in nine oil fields. Yeah, they did. One of the, off the Atlantic margin there in Ireland, I think they are the biggest license holder. And if you read my blog, you'll see of late, all the major oil players, the big ones in the world, have started to take interest in offshore Ireland because of Canada. And it sounds odd, but geologically, it's very similar to Canada. And I think it was $1.2 trillion being invested in the Canadian area. So now, offshore Ireland seems like the new hot prospect area for oil. And Provident Resources hold, you know, a big chunk of this area. Anyway, in this area, some of the assets they have potentially world-class prospective resources. So that's that. And reason three, cash. Due to the recent fundraise, they are fully financed to do the Druid drilling, but are looking to farm out to partners. So, you know, get somebody in to help them. But they are fully financed to do it. And not only this, because now they're fully financed, it puts them in a stronger negotiating position, you know, to negotiate sort of deals. Whereas before this fundraise, they would. So there's several, you know, points of interest here. And I just think one to keep an eye on. Like the share price is back today. It's down today at 10.3. Now, the fundraise was 12 pence. So the share price is below that. And they've got cash to do that. So even if they go alone on this, they've got the cash. Or they could farm someone in. All right, so please do your own research on that. But they're worth keeping on your radar, I think. Here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Andalast Energy and Power, ADL. At four, Talao Energy, TLOU. And a bit of a pullback today. And I think, you know, knowing what we know about Talao, like I said, it's worth putting on your watch list if you're not watching them already. At three, Oxford Pharmascience, I talked about with Doc. At two, on the podcast yesterday, Jeremy Martin, an amazing asset they've got down there, and they've just raised £9 million. Horizonte Mining, or Minerals, sorry, HZM. And at number one, it is a bit of a hot stock, they had news out today as well, is Prairie Mining, PDZ. Again, another massive asset in the coal area, located in Europe there. And they've just done a deal, or signed an agreement, with China's second biggest coal producer. And so looking at the top five RNSs I liked the most on the website this morning, at five it was Prairie Mining. Like I said, they did China Coal, they signed a deal with to, I think the agreement is to fund and construct the mine, but the first of all, it's funding for the pre-feasibility study, I think, on the asset they got there. At four, Andalas Energy, updated company presentation. At three, Vast Resources, drilling commences at 4.6 million ton high grade Beta Play Mine Tailings Dam. At two, Sound Energy, Tendrara TE7 pre-stimulation flow rate. It was apparently exceeded expectations. And at one, the most liked RNS. It's a company we've got a lot of love, and I can see why. Tony's a very nice fat, Tony Manini. Asia Met Resources Limited, miscellaneous option grants, and apparently they've foregone, the directors have foregone I think pay and bonuses, I think, in. And instead, they've gone for options at a higher price. So that's quite good there. Asian Met Resources, most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website today. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, if you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click the link there for my blogs, and you'll see at the bottom there, do you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists? Well, click that, fill the form in, and I could be featuring it on tomorrow's podcast. Hey! All right. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.